Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Mark Bergsma will bring a message titled, The Life, from Scripture found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the worship and fellowship of 8th Reformed Church. First of all, thank you, Paul, for a beautiful introduction. Wasn't that a wonderful prelude? Give him a hand, will you? Thank you in advance for the choir and your accompaniment there, your leadership over the choir. We always enjoy that time together. If you are joining us by Jethro Radio today, welcome to you. We are always glad to welcome our radio listeners, as well as those who join us through jethro.fm on the internet. And also, just a word of welcome to those who will join us through YouTube and through that extension of the gospel through the media. And we thank those who are here to oversee all of those. Thank you for being here. It's always a joy to get together and worship, isn't it? Sundays are special for us as believers because it's a time for us to get together and say thank you for another week of life and blessings and all the ways that God shows us during the course of each week that He loves us. I want to begin with our call to worship today from Psalm 90, and this will tie in eventually with our message and the theme of our message today. It's about God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Those words just remind us that our God is eternal. And we can't quite wrap our minds around that, but it's a wonderful truth, and He shares that eternal life with us. And that's the theme today that we're going to be looking at. Will you begin worship with me by standing to sing hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance?
Glory divine, heir of salvation.
Father in heaven, what a joy it is for us to be in your house today. The Lord's Day is something that we've come to cherish, and we know that you do too. We know that it's something that you look forward to when your people gather for the very purpose of praising you and worshiping you and loving you. Father, it is our joy to be here and to see our brothers and sisters in Christ, to know that we are one and we share the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the presence of your Holy Spirit here now, not just within us, but among us, making us one body in Christ. We thank you for what's going to take place as we pray together, as we sing together, as we fellowship together, and as we open your word together. We know, Father, that we will feel your presence. We know that you will be with us in a powerful way. And so we entrust this hour to you. Change us as you see fit. Move us, Father, to live for you day by day. Move us to be full of praise for you. Even as this beautiful hymn reminds us, we have that blessed assurance, and it leads us to praise our Savior all the day long. Be with us now, and we pray it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you, Paul, and thanks to the choir for just a great reminder that we stand on the solid rock. As you know, we are preparing to celebrate the Lord's Supper next week. And this is a special occasion for Christians. It is an occasion where we not only hear with our ears what our faith is all about, but we actually enter the very elements that represent the body and blood of Christ into our bodies. And God knows that we need that. We need that extra element of assurance to strengthen our faith. And so I invite you to be here next week and to take part in that. But before we do that, the Scripture always counsels us to look inward, to examine ourselves, to make preparations for that special rendezvous with God. And I want you to listen to these words. They kind of lead us down that path as we prepare ourselves spiritually for the Lord's Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together with the gracious help of God the sacrament of the Lord's Supper next Lord's Day. Our conscience, instructed by God's law, rightly declares us unworthy of this gift. We find that we have neither loved the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. To examine our lives is to confirm that we deserved exclusion from this royal banquet, and indeed from God's presence forever. Yet this is God's feast of love, and it was in love that Christ gave himself for us. When we were unworthy, Christ made us worthy. When we should have justly died as punishment for our sins, Christ freely paid our penalty, dying in our place. Christ has become our complete righteousness. And therefore, our self-examination must not end in despair. We're called to trust God's work on our behalf and to receive the gift of forgiveness offered us in Christ Jesus. Our reconciliation to God is found in trusting this good news, that before we chose God, God chose us. Partaking at the Lord's table is not an act of virtue. This table is prepared for those who humbly place their trust in Christ alone and find in his death and his resurrection and his ascension their only peace. Though they often fail in their efforts, those who thus approach this table will desire to please God, conforming their lives to God's purpose. Rest fully assured that when God finds such complete trust and godly intention, he will forgive all of our sins and make us worthy partakers of this heavenly kingdom. With that in mind, we come to prayer. And before we get to prayer, I want to just cover at least highlight those things which are in your bulletin today. First of all, the hymn sing today will be a great occasion. It's at 2:30, and the music will start at 2:15. This is always a great occasion, and a lot of folks come beyond our own congregation. So we hope that you'll be here to enjoy the music. A lot of work has gone into putting this all together. You will tremendously enjoy it and be blessed by it. It starts at 2:30 officially, but music begins at 2:15 today. Just some reminders about prayer. Doug Pueller is going to be having surgery this week on October 3rd, and they request prayer for successful surgery, speedy recovery. David Shaver's father, David, has been diagnosed with cancer and is beginning treatments. Please pray for David. Tim Takuma's brother-in-law, Brian Herwire, brain surgery this past week. That went well. Continue to uphold them. Fran Schuling received some good reports after having biopsy done on previous cancer spots. But she continues to ask for your prayer as she heals from that and other issues. And continue to remember Brent Kirkstra. Don Winalda remains in hospice care. And then our list of folks who just battle physical illnesses and so on is very long. And it's in the bulletin for the express purpose of having you remember them in prayer. And just thank God for the health that we enjoy, but remember those who struggle physically. And Lorna Bordewijk passed away this past week. Continue to remember her family in prayer. She passed away on Thursday. Funeral arrangements are pending there. Some of you know Lorna from way back. And we'll pass along any news we can about those arrangements. Right now, they are just pending. Continue to remember Lorna's family in your prayers. Let's spend some time in prayer, shall we? Father, as we hear those words inviting us to your table and to the experience of the Lord's Supper next week, we pray in a humble way, Father, that you will cleanse us and forgive us right now for anything that we carried into this sanctuary today. Father, something that may be a deep, dark secret, something that we're not proud of, something that we've been struggling with. We know that you see in us and through us. And so we can't hide from you, Father, but we know also that you invite us to come as a father invites his children. And we know that you have made provisions for our very worst sins, for the times when we have been in utter rebellion against you. You have endured it all. And you have made provisions for our sins. You've invited us to come at a moment like this and lay our burdens down at the foot of the cross. And then you remind us in the scriptures not to come back and pick those burdens up again, but to leave them there. Christ died for them. They're buried with him. They will never burden us again. Teach us to have that kind of faith. And as we approach the Lord's Supper, teach us to come with pure hearts and grateful hearts because of what you've done. None of this is about us, Father. You've gone ahead of us. You've taken care of all of the contingencies. And now you invite us to come in faith and rest and to receive the elements next week and to receive with them the peace that they bring into the heart of every true believer. Thank you for what's going to take place next week in advance. We entrust all of that to the Holy Spirit. And we know that it will be a wonderful experience. Father, we pray for our sick today. We pray for Doug as he prepares for surgery. We pray for David as he prepares for treatments, chemo treatments. We pray thanks, Father, over Brian as he underwent the most intense kind of surgery. And we pray for his continued healing, as well as Fran. Thank you, Father, for the good reports that she received, and continue to be with her as she recovers. Brent, we entrust to your care and ask, too, for his healing. Father, continue to be with him day by day and remind him of your great love for him. We think of Don under hospice care and continue to be close to him day by day as he struggles with even the most common things that we take for granted. And continue to be with those who deal with health issues. We think of Kay and Don and Ashley and Jim and Betty and Robert and Brenda and Pam and Barb, Joy, Kathy and Joanne, Emily and Dan, Dave and Lynn and Ron and Helen and Larry and Dave and Tim and Lorna Bordewijk's family. Father, we entrust that entire family to you as they mourn the loss of Lorna. Father, we encounter so much in this life, and some of the things that we encounter are almost overwhelming to us. And so we are so thankful that we can come and bow our heads and close our eyes and enter the heavenlies for a moment or two and lay these pressing burdens at your feet and know that you welcome us and have promised to answer every prayer. Be with us now, Father, in these moments. Be with the folks that gather this afternoon for a time of just simple praise and joy. It will be a time, Father, when the Holy Spirit just fills and overflows this place. And we thank you for that because we love being a beacon of the joy of the Lord in this community. Thanks for those who have prepared that time that is coming this afternoon. Thank you, Father, for the continued work of this church, for its pastor and its board and all that lead it, for those who are a part of it in any way. We, Father, are a family that has been assembled by the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for what lies ahead of us, for all of the opportunities that we'll have to talk about Christ to those who don't yet know the Lord. Be with us now, and again, we thank you for this. We come together around the words that Jesus gave us when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are going to sing again. Our hymn of preparation, Face to Face, is number 781. Thank you. The scripture that we'll be looking at today is from 1 John chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 4. While you're looking that up, let me just say, by way of preparation, that the subject today is a very difficult one to communicate, to preach on: eternal life. When we start to talk about eternity, all of the words that we use for a frame of reference on a normal basis are out the window. We can't talk about seconds or minutes or hours or days or weeks or months or years or decades or centuries or generations. All of those words are irrelevant. We can't talk about past, present, future, yesterday, today, tomorrow. We can't talk about time in general: when, later, now, wait, coming, before, after, anticipate, hope. All those words gone. Because all of them are locked into space and time. That's the world we live in. That's all we're used to. And now, all of a sudden, we're going to start talking about eternity. And that is a difficult subject to communicate. So we're going to rely heavily today on God's Word, because He does communicate it to us. We're going to rely heavily on the Holy Spirit today, because without Him, we're lost in this whole process. 1 John chapter 1, and the first four verses. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us." He's talking, of course, about Jesus. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." What got me thinking about this subject, several things actually. A couple of deaths that I heard about that were very sudden. Car accident. 50-year-old, gone. Motorcycle accident. 49-year-old, gone. One day here, the next day gone. And then I heard a song on the radio in my car, popular song. And the lyrics got my attention. The lyrics went like this: "Last night I fell asleep, and when I woke up, I was old." Whoa. "I said goodbye to my youth, and my blood ran cold." How do you like those for lyrics? I don't know about you, but I can relate. I've always been the kid. And now, not so much. I've always been able to look around the room and say, I'm the youngest person in the room. Now, seldom can I look around the room but what I say, I don't see anybody older. Do you know what I'm talking about? It gets us thinking about our mortality. It gets us thinking about the brevity of life, how quickly it goes by. And it gets us also thinking about eternal life. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's an interesting statement made. It says, number one, God is eternal. Make no mistake about that. Number two, God has planted the idea of eternal life inside of every one of us. And so if you've ever thought about it, what's going to happen to me after I take my last breath? If you've ever thought about that, that's the Holy Spirit talking to you on the inside. If you've ever struggled with that and thought, oh boy, I don't know, that's because of sin inside of you that causes us to struggle. And now it brings us to this point where the focus is God. Only He has eternal life. And He has created us, put the idea of eternal life inside of us. And we're going to talk about how now He offers that life to us free to receive it. We're going to focus on how we can know that we have eternal life, how we can hang on to God's promises and know what's going to happen to us after we die. The disciple John, interesting character. He started out, of course, as a fisherman, James and John. They were called the sons of thunder, which leads us to believe that they were kind of boisterous and they reveled in their youth and they were loud and outspoken and hard workers. And then John met Jesus. And John's life changed. Interesting. All the other disciples, Peter and right on down the list, they all were martyred at a fairly early age. John is the only one of the disciples that survived into old age. We don't know whether he lived into his 90s or maybe he hit the century mark. We really don't know. But he lived a long life. And as he did, he began to think more and more about eternal life. It became almost an obsession with him. He wrote down everything that Jesus said about eternal life, and then he makes these incredible statements in his epistles. In 1 John, he's writing to the new Christians in the world, and he said, I got to tell you about eternal life. And I got to tell you about where it's found, and about how to obtain it, and how to know for sure that you have it. And so that's what we're going to look at today. It's a very interesting subject. The word life, zao in Greek, appears 36 times in John's writings, in the Gospel and in his epistles. And by zao, life, he's talking about physical life. He's talking about what we experience every day. Awareness, that which comes through our senses. He's talking about the duration of life, the years that we have in this world. He's talking about the enjoyment of life, the things that we do, the little things that mean so much to us. He's talking about recovering from illness and recovering from surgery. He's talking about living life to its fullness. Somebody wrote this: it's waking up in the morning fully refreshed, re-energized, smelling the coffee and the bacon sizzling, and looking at the sunrise and seeing the smile on your loved one's face and knowing that you're loved by them and especially by Jesus and feeling safe and secure. That's life. And I like life. Amen? I like life. And life is just, I got to thinking the other day, Lazarus, remember he's called back from the dead? I wonder what it was like for him the morning after he came back from the dead. What was he thinking when he had his coffee the next morning? What was Lazarus thinking? I'm alive. Now, he would go on to die again, but that just gets us into this whole mode of thinking about life. And John chapter 1, the gospel, says this life came from Jesus. He created the world. He created the people in the world. He was the source of all life. And when he entered into the world as a little baby, he was just bubbling over with life. He was the source. And people that came close to him got healed because there was life just oozing out of Jesus. People that were near him that were dead came back to life because he was bursting forth with life. Even his words, when he spoke a word, people grasped it and held on because they sensed there was life in those words. And then the scripture says that he came into the world and he submitted himself to a world that had turned its back on life and was committed to death. We live in such a world today. The assassination of this young man just last week, Charlie Kirk, reminds us again that we live in a world that's obsessed with death. If you don't believe that, just check out the movies that are popular right now. Check out the songs that are going out on the radio. Check out social media. Everything is about death. The world has essentially exchanged life for death, gladly, and said we like death better. Jesus entered into that world, and it says he submitted himself to death for us and took on our death so that we wouldn't have to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal zao, life. That great truth of Scripture. And our Jesus is full of life. After they crucified him, it says he came back from the dead and he would never die again because he was full to the bursting with eternal life. And as we watch him in those pages of Scripture after he comes back from the dead, he essentially says to us, what you see in me is what you'll get. You will also come to a point where you are so full of eternal life that you will never die again. You will experience a resurrected body. You will experience fellowship with friends. You will experience all the joys that you now experience only without the threat of disease and pain and suffering and death. That will be completely and totally taken away. That's what life was meant to be like. And the scripture says we'll get back there. And then we come to this word eternal. Whew, boy, where do we start with that word? Have you ever walked into a room and seen light streaming into the window? And you notice that there's a lot of dust in the air. Have you ever seen that? There's little particles floating around in that beam of light coming into the room. Now I want you to take just one of those little teeny microscopic particles, one little teeny piece of dust. And I want you to think of the whole history of the world. As long as the world has been in existence, all of those years and centuries and all of that time is contained in that one little speck of dust. In comparison to the whole wide world, the whole universe, compare that one little speck of dust, and you begin to get an idea of what one day in eternity is like, how long it is. We can't comprehend those kind of things, but it's true. Eternal life is God's life. There is no beginning. There is no end. There is no progression of time. There never was a time when God did not exist. He is eternally present. And here's the big news. God chooses of His own free will and of His love for us to share that life with us. Listen. We know that if this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. There is God's promise to us. And then again, back to our friend John. John says some interesting things. Listen to this. He's quoting Jesus. "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged. But," listen to this, "but has crossed over from death to life." Usually when we talk about somebody passing, what do we mean? Dying. So-and-so passed the other day. But the Scripture flips the script on that, and it says, when you're a believer, when you come to Christ, you pass away. In reverse, you pass from death to life. And it says it again in this passage. Listen, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. And anyone who does not love remains in death. The love that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ as a part of this congregation is evidence that we have passed away in the right direction, from death to life." And then John says this, and this is kind of the coup de grace of the entire discussion. Listen to this. "We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which He has given about His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son." And this is the testimony. God has given us, I'll repeat it, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And here's something to think about. Did you realize that when you pray, even now, you are venturing into the realm of eternal life? You're poking your head into eternity. And you're speaking to a God who is eternal. You're getting just a sample of what eternal life is going to be like when you pray. Now, I had something interesting happen to me. As I was studying for this and putting this together, these thoughts, I went to a Bible study up north with my buddy. And the Bible study was going through the book of Acts. And we were in Acts chapter 5. And I learned some things. Acts chapter 5 is the story of the apostles after Jesus ascends back into heaven. The apostles are in the square, and they're preaching the gospel, and they get arrested, and they get thrown in jail, the public jail, locked in jail. And in the middle of the night, an angel comes from heaven, unlocks the door, and says, "Go on, get out of here. I want you to go back to the public square where you were preaching, and I want you to give the people that gather there to listen to you the words of," and I quote, "this life." That's what the angel says. I want you to tell the people there about the life. And of course, the angel is talking about Jesus, but the angel is also talking about the life, eternal life. And I also learned as I researched that, I thought God didn't do this just by accident. I'm working on this message and suddenly this is laid right in my lap. So I did some research on it and I found out that one of the early names for the Christian movement, for the early Christians, guess what it was? First, it was called the Way, but it was also called the Life. So when you came to Christ, you became part of the life. And I thought, that is so appropriate. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you are in Christ, you are a part of, to this very day, the life. And, you know, when we talk about our faith and we talk about people who still don't believe in Christ, We think to ourselves, how can we prove it to them? How can we make a case for Christianity? How can we get the word out in such a way that it will entice people to become Christians? And our Bible study leader, Jerry, said something interesting. He said, that's the way we always think. And he said, what we should be saying is, anybody that has heard this, why wouldn't they want to accept the gift of Christ? Why wouldn't they want to accept the gift of the life? And that's a great question. Sin is still going to play a role. We're still living in a world that prefers death and darkness, but our message is I've passed away from that, and I've passed into life, and I'm happy about it. The bottom line in all of this, it's the most precious gift you will ever receive. It is the gift that, if you'll excuse the saying, keeps on giving forever. It is the gift that is given to us in love. And it is the gift that we freely receive. And right now, we don't even begin to realize how precious this gift really is. Because of our limited senses, maybe in a million years, it will start to dawn on us what a glorious gift this really is. And it's given to us freely. I want to close with Scripture again because it's only appropriate. This comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 102. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence, and their descendants will be established before you. Welcome to the life. Let's pray together. Fathers, we begin to try to wrap our minds around this immense subject and try to consider what is in our future. We pray that the Holy Spirit may take over when we hit the wall. May the Holy Spirit testify to us this very day that what lies before us, Father, is beyond human description. And it is eternal. And it is the life. We look forward, Father, to the days when death won't be hanging over our head anymore. When we will have full and complete experience of everything that you have created. Most of all, your love for us. And when we will be entered fully into that realm of eternity and eternal life. Right now we say thank you for that gift. And we pray it all in Christ's name, who made it possible. In His name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 772, When We All Get to Heaven.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite our deacons to come forward and to receive our morning offering. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the precious gift of eternal life. And it is our joy now to come together and present these gifts to you, Father, that can be used to extend that good news to any who will hear in this world of darkness. We pray for that you'll use them to that end through us. Father, thank you, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. After the benediction, in the sweet by and by, number 778, you know that one, you don't have to look that one up, verse 1, receive God's blessing. Now may the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that's found in knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, may the peace in knowing that we are a part of the life, may that peace be with you and go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing spent from this time around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.